Let's pray. Lord, I ask as you speak to us today about our faith and how we live that out in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever made a wrong turn and found yourself going the wrong way on a one-way street? Well, I've done that on occasion. It can be unnerving if you really think about it. One man made this kind of mistake, and he said, you know, I just figured I was late and everybody else was coming home. God has a way of has a clear one-way street for living abundantly. That way of living life is essentially loving God in Jesus Christ with our total being, which is our strength, our mind, our heart, and our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. And that has to do with our servanthood towards other people and what that means. I got a scripture for you that talks about the whole question of the Sabbath in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 36. I'd like for us to read it together, and now I want to talk to you about the context of this. Here we go. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had withered hands. And they watched him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Sabbath, our Sunday now, was created for us to rediscover God and our neighbor. It was created for us to be in fellowship with one another and with God. Anything short of that is self-defeating as driving your car against the traffic on a superhighway. I want to talk to you a little bit about our actions and how we live our lives. The Pharisees in this text believed in God. Many people today say they believe in God. Sometimes people who say that they believe only appear to believe. Appearances can be deceiving. Not everyone who says he believes really believes. In the famous Grand Inquisition passage in Dostoevsky's Brothers Karamazov, the man who has put others in jails for not believing or for believing the wrong thing is himself found to be without faith. The Grand Inquisitor, the expert in theology, is trying to preserve a certain tradition about faith, a certain policy of the church. But underneath it all, he is not a believer. And the inquisitor is the Christian counterpart of these distorted Jewish Pharisees in Jesus' day. He knows more theology than almost everyone, but knowing is not believing. Knowing the sense, in the sense of head knowledge, is a good thing, but it is not the same as faith. Ideally, knowing about God and theology should enrich a person's life and a person's faith, but it doesn't always do that. Some people are very knowledgeable about the things of God and the history of Israel and the church, drift away from both God and the church. And the reason is, the appearance is that both Pharisee and the inquisitor are at the top of the religious ladder in terms of their faith. Things aren't always what they seem. Knowledge is not the same thing as faith, at least not as we normally use the term knowledge. In the Bible, knowing is often used in a different way than we see in our day today. In Hebrew, and I've talked to you, a number of you, about this, the word we translate to know is yada in Hebrew. Yada means personal first-hand relationship with another person and not information about another person. For example, the Old Testament often refers to knowing in terms of sexual terms. He went into the tent and knew his wife, means that they had sexual intercourse. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore. In other words, that relationship was so close that they knew each other. The verb yada is used in Psalm 46, to which a lot of you are very familiar with. Be still and know that I am God. And that word is yada there. Be still and know that I'm God. Now, to know God means personal first-hand relationship with God. It is not just about knowledge. It is about knowing in terms of faith. That is the real meaning of faith. Faith is more than head knowledge. Faith is also more than following the rules. The Pharisees tried to trap Jesus with rules. In this Mark passage right here that we just read, the accusation against Jesus is he's breaking the Sabbath rule. The Pharisees, they tithed, they prayed regularly, they debated the religious regulations regularly. They were generally regarded as the most religious people around at the time, but many of them got trapped in the vice of religious rules, playing church. When Jesus appeared on the scene and he was speaking and acting prophetically and advocating a change back to basics and a focus on people and the relationships instead of religion, the Pharisees were offended. The Pharisees decided to strike back. They would trap Jesus in some point of the law, you might say, and thus cause him to lose face before all the people. And time again, they tried. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And they once asked that, and he said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, as he showed him a picture of the coin and whose image was on it. Here, too, Jesus reverses the question and he takes the Pharisees out of the spotlight and shines it on God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Rules and regulations can be good things if they center in God and not ourselves, but even at their best, rules do not substitute for faith. And neither is believing that there is a God substitutes for faith. To believe that there is a God is not the same as believing God or believing in God. For example, if you say that you believe that there is a God, you know what? That costs you nothing. It is a convenient stance, since most other people say that they also believe that there is a God. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to give anything. You don't have to put anything into a relationship. You can just pop out of this semi-truth at a convenient moment. I believe that there is a God. I just worship him in my way. In case of emergency, if you hit an occasional bump in the road which you can't handle, it may be convenient to have God in your hip pocket. I have this card which says I am a card-carrying believer. Well, the God of the hip pocket is not God at all. Believing God is different from believing in God, which is also different from believing that there is a God. In the first instance, believing God, believing is a relationship of trust, and God is in control. You know, when Jesus says, you should be nice to one another, do you believe him or not? Believing God is different from believing in God, which is the difference from believing there is a God. Think about that. In the second and the third, was believing in God or believing there is a God, actually you remain in control, or at least you try to remain in control, or you think you're in control, as did the young lawyer in a familiar story in Luke's gospel. It's one of the key stories of the New Testament. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 29 to 37. I'd like for us to just read it together and receive what it's saying. Here we go. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. But then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This story actually shows that faith is more than just head knowledge. It's different from following rules and much more than merely believing that there is a God. Faith is rather a living relationship with God which results in the fruit of concern for your neighbor. The religious lawyer or the scribe in this story was going the wrong way on a one-way street, you might say. He didn't really believe in God. How do I know? It's clear he didn't know who his neighbor was. You will know them by their fruits. Serving our neighbor is a fruit of discipleship. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That was the question the lawyer asked of Jesus, and Jesus replied with a question like a good Jew that he was, and he said, You tell me, what's written in the law? And the lawyer replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, do it, and life is yours. Believe me, Jesus said, it's all about your relationship. Believe me. But in verse 29, it says, but the man seeking self-justification, trying to stay in the religious center and not lose faith, he asks, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus never answered the question. Instead, he told the story about being a good neighbor. By doing this, he reversed the conditions to require not accepting an idea about the neighbor, but rather doing something for the neighbor in need. Read with me verses 36 and 37. It's down at the bottom of this again. Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Which of these men? The priest and the Levite who passed by on the other side of the road when they saw the man in need by the side of the road, or the good Samaritan, was the good neighbor to the man who was hurting. Why? The one who took pity on him. And the lawyer replied, that's what he said. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. The point of the story is not about humanitarianism or just being nice to people. It's not about elevating the Samaritan either, for that matter. It's not about good works. It's not about the priest's insensitivity, nor the lawyer's hard-headedness. The point of the story is that faith must be active in love. Someone who says that he loves God but does not serve his neighbor is lying. Pure and simple. That's fruits, folks. The purpose of all the laws of God, including the law about the Sabbath day, were put down to put us in right relationship with God and with our neighbor. Servanthood is that right relationship. The human being needs rest. The human being needs worship, which is focus on our relationship with God. The human being needs fellowship. The human being needs to stop occasionally and get in touch with God and his neighbor. So let me restate that in the first person. You and I need rest. You and I need worship, and that's where we focus on our relationship with God. You and I need fellowship with one another. You and I need to stop occasionally and get in touch with God and get in touch with our neighbors. The day of worship is set aside for renewal of the human spirit and relationship. You know, we do a lot around this church, and we've been doing it a lot of years, and I always take July. This is a time when you focus on worship only. That has to do with your relationship with God. And we don't go out there and do stuff. We take time to recenter. The point of the Sabbath is to get our eyes off ourselves and onto God and our neighbor. And this point flies right in the face of our modern me generation, where it's all about me, the popular tendency to put ourself first, take a selfie, put ourself first, last and always. The biggest problem we have, if we are Christ's disciples, is getting ourself out of the picture and putting Christ in that place so that we can be in right relationship with God through Christ and with our neighbor. Ourself is our biggest problem. The purpose of the Sabbath and worship is to get our minds off of ourselves and onto God and the person sitting next to us, for that matter, as well, and living next to us. Servanthood involves being the servant of somebody. That someone is our neighbor. Service to our neighbor is the necessary extension of faith in the Lord Jesus. You can't have one without the other. Read with me 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. The Sabbath was made for man, Jesus said. The Pharisee had tried to trap him by pointing out that he was working on the Sabbath and he was picking grain from the fields on a holy day. And Jesus said, you missed the point. You've still got your eyes fix firmly on yourself and your ideas and your narrow theology and your little world. You're trying to crush the people instead of helping them to live abundantly. God is there to be worshiped. The neighbor is there to be served. The Sabbath was made for that discovery, to get us into a right relationship with God so that we can actually be servants to our neighbor. One of the things that we do is we get this stuff all turned around. And appearances can be deceiving. This includes people. and things and rules, and Jesus called himself the truth. And the truth he is. And the truth will set you free. The truth sees through deception. If you believe there is a God, that's one thing. If you even believe in God, that's another thing. But believing God in terms of how you live your life is the relationship. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us all this summer as we go about our daily things, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would attend to our worship of you, attend to our relationship with you, so that we can be the servants you want us to be. In Jesus' name.